Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hour number two, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Just waiting on Elliot Friedman here will join us. Riv, here he comes. Riv, I asked you, it's taking us an hour. Good morning, Elliot. Welcome
morning,
to the show.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
It's been the Riv. You know what, Elliot? Today, you know, when you come on, I get a little more honest, eh? Today's been the Riv fantasy hockey show.
Why is he making? Is he inventing trades for Jack Eichel and things like that?
You know it, Elliot.
Didn't even get to Jack yet.
We haven't even gotten to Jack yet. No, he traded the number one pick and Jeff Skinner to Seattle. That's it. You're not doing that, Riv.
Come on, don't. You're not doing that.
He said, "This might be crazy, Craig, coming out. I don't know. This could be." And I said, "And here he goes." And then we spent. And I wanted to talk about the Scheifele hit. And he spent 12 minutes talking about this. And I was like, oh, my God.
I know this is a big show because Craig's wearing a collar. So I know this is a big day.
I'm not even going to answer that. Not going to go there. Because I know you're trying to pick on me, Elliot, and I'm not going to fall for it.
Craig, how dumb do you think I am? You think I'm going to pick on you or Andrew? Not a chance.
Oh, man.
Why not?
Because eventually you have to pay the piper, and I'm not in a fight against either one of the two of you. I'm not picking myself.
There's no fighting anymore in life. That's why I sleep so well.
There's only love, Elliot. There's only love now here.
There's no fighting anymore, Elliot. You can't go around, you know, dropping the gloves with people. You have to outwit them. That's why we don't go to bat against you, Elliot, because we don't want to. Because when in the modern day fights, when it's brains over brawn, we don't have a chance, right?
I don't know about that. But Craig, you're not dealing away the number one pick to get rid of Jeff Skinner's contract. It's just not happening.
Thank you. Can we put that conversation to rest
Is
now?
There a way in Elliot Freeman's psyche that Jeff Skinner can be moved?
Well, first of all, he has to agree to it. That's the one thing we all have to remember. He has control over the situation. You know, but I think like the tough thing right now, Craig, is that, you know, everybody's taken a financial beating in the pandemic and the cap is going to be flat, maybe $1 million raise over the next couple of years. Maybe it's going to be extremely hard to find anybody to do that. And it's going to hurt to extricate yourself from that. It's going to hurt. I'm not convinced it's worth it. I really am not.
Well, Elliot Friedman, go ahead.
Again, I look at that, Elliot, and just be like, if there's ever a time that Jeff Skinner's contract could be moved, it would be this year. And Seattle is one of the teams that could make that. And the only way that they
would do it?
to acquire the first overall pick. That's
No, there's no way if you're Buffalo, you're doing that. Look how excited Kevin Adams was last night. You know, you saw the big smile on his face. You know, look, like you guys saw the story last week in the Sports Business Journal. Buffalo was one of the great markets of the National Hockey League. And look what happened to your TV numbers last year. Yeah. You have something to excite your fans potentially next year, Owen Power. You're going to trade that away? Like I was looking at social last night, and I recognize social media is not the real world. And sometimes we make the big mistakes of equating what happens on Twitter with real life because it's not. But I saw the excitement of the Buffalo fans. You're going to take that excitement away? Not a chance, Craig. Not a chance.
Well, I guess there's different ways of looking at it. You're looking at it at that the fan base is excited about bringing in Owen Power.
Yeah.
A player that most likely will not play in the National Hockey League next year. A player that has not been...
You don't know that.
Well, I don't know that. And I said that at the start of the show that I think that is only time will tell. Right. Mm-hmm. But Buffalo Sabres also have one of the youngest defense corps in the National Hockey League moving into next year. Okay. Are you going to bring in another 19-year-old defenseman to go along with who's going to guide him?
To be the only question that matters. I mean, you can find a good veteran out there. Craig, I see that jersey. Does it still fit?
No.
You can find good veterans and good leaders to help Owen Power develop. And I'll tell you, with the cap tight, there's going to be a lot of those kinds of players who will be eager to find work, who will be eager to say, I'd be more than happy to come to Buffalo and help Owen Power grow. And to me, it doesn't matter how many defensemen you have. Adding another good player, potentially a really good player, is never a bad thing. And if you have a lot of defensemen, that means you can potentially look to move defensemen for something else that can help you. Like I see last night as such a win for the Buffalo Sabres that you're not hurting that in any way, shape, or form. That's positive momentum at a time that you guys need positive momentum. You build on that. You don't subtract from it.
Is there ever a situation that the Buffalo Sabres trade out of number one and maybe move down to number two and have Seattle Kraken move to number one?
Well, I think what that's a fair question. I think, Craig, it comes down to a couple of things. Number one is, does Buffalo have a player there that they absolutely say, this is our player? Like you all, if you're going to make that deal, like if you look at it and say, we have two players at the top and we're going to get either one of those two players, then you say, yeah, you consider it. You have to make Seattle make it worthwhile to you. Like you've got to say to the Kraken, if you want us to move down one, what are you going to do for us? So that's a very fair question and you have to use your leverage. I think it comes down to, does Buffalo sit there and say, we have this player, we want this player, and we're not risking losing this player. I think it comes down to that. What's Buffalo's flexibility? I will say this too. There are some teams, I don't know if the Sabres believe this or not, but there are some teams who like the symbolic nature of having the number one pick, where they can simply say, and this would be a time for Buffalo to have it, to say, we're going in a new direction. If Buffalo does what I think they're going to do, they're going in a new direction. And there is something symbolic.
That's exactly what I said 40 minutes ago when I tried to shut this conversation down. I said, like, if they're trading Eichel and they're trading Reinhardt and they're like, I can't believe I have to tell you this, Craig, the Mr. Whiteboard, like if they're trading those guys, they're not trading the number one pick to get rid of Skinner.
But this is the different question. Craig's asking, do you move down one spot to collect another asset?
What are you really going to get?
Well, you could get, maybe you get another pick. Maybe do you get an additional second rounder out of it? Like, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. We're having,
maybe you get a second rounder and you tell them who to take off of your when they go to take a player off your team in expansion, you can guide them and say, I want you to take this player, but I also want a second round draft pick this year, and I will give you the first overall pick.
But I mean, that potentially makes more sense to me. I think it comes down to sometimes in those situations, like there was one, I think it was 2003, where, you know, Pittsburgh and Carolina and Florida moved around. That was the Nathan Horton, Marc-Andre Fleury, I think Eric Staal draft. But the key there was everybody knew who everyone else was going to take. Florida wasn't willing to do that unless it knew it was still going to get Nathan Horton. So I think that's all part of it. Buffalo has to be able to say there's a guy we want and we have to make sure we get them if we move out of number one.
Instigators, Elliot Friedman joining us here on the show. We're talking about the Sabres winning the draft lottery last night. Craig is very heavily into moving it, not maybe moving it, but maybe moving down, trading out. And it's not necessarily an unpopular opinion on social media either amongst the fan base. Elliot, one of the conversations we have not had yet, we'll also talk about the Mark Scheifele hit last night, but Jack's neck, Kevin Adams referenced it yesterday that his team doctors are not necessarily still comfortable with that procedure that Jack is interested in. Yeah. Where does this all go?
Look, they're supposed to meet this week, and Kevin, I heard that on the weekend, and Kevin Adams confirmed that last night that they are going to have a conversation this week. I think there's a reason they waited. Like the 12-week period ended Sunday, May 30th. And you notice they didn't meet until they're not meeting until after the draft lottery, according to what Kevin said. That says to me they were waiting to see how everything lined up. I think the trade talks pick up now. Like I do wonder, and I base this on no knowledge, but my own reading of the situation. I do wonder if this is going to become another team's decision. Because I've heard that the Sabres have gone to the league to ask what their rights are. And I've heard that Eichel has gone to the Players Association, or his agents have gone to the Players Association to determine what their rights are. So I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes another team's issue.
So how does that work? A team that is looking to acquire Jack Eichel would do their due diligence talking with Jack Eichel's doctors.
If they're given permission, yes.
If they're giving permission. To move forward and to see if they're okay with the surgery that Jack would like to have and if they're okay with that. Is that how it works?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like, since I wrote about the whole issue, I've had a few teams reach out to me to ask me, you know, everything I know about this whole situation. And I try to give them as much information as I can. So I do think there's a lot of teams out there doing their due diligence on this. I think that's going to be an interesting thing over the next little while. Now that we know who's picking where, how much do the trade talks pick up? And I would suspect they're going to pick up quite a bit.
Even in this current condition.
Yeah. I do, you know, he's going to play again. It's just going to become an issue now about what the right decision is going to be.
All right. I'll be very curious to see what happens here. I know that this is probably the biggest news, Elliot, surrounding the team, but it's the biggest star player I've ever heard of that has this kind of a conflict with a procedure. I don't think I've ever heard of this in hockey before. Maybe way back to Lindros.
Well, Lindros is a great example because he was definitely at odds with the Flyers about it. I think if you look at it, as Sidney Crosby did some very unique things with his concussion work, but at that time, I actually did a story on the doctor in Atlanta that he was, he's a chiropractor actually in Atlanta that Sidney Crosby did some work with. And I took a lot of criticism for it because there were people in the medical profession who said, that guy's not a doctor and you're promoting treatment that doesn't make any sense. They didn't believe in it. And my response to that was, look, Sidney Crosby believes in it. That's a story. And so Sidney Crosby did some unique things, but Pittsburgh supported it. You know, when Connor McDavid injured his knee, he chose a path that not everyone supported. And I think at times, even the Oilers weren't sure that it was the right path, but they said, you know, it's Connor McDavid. You know, he trusts his doctors. They worked together and they found a path. And I think in the end, the Oilers realized that they were fortunate they went down that path. So I don't think it's unique for player and team to disagree or be a little bit uncertain, but it is unusual to see to go this level. Lindros is a great comparable, Andrew. I don't know where this is going to go, but I suspect, and again, this is my opinion, that it could become another team's decision on how to go here. And will another team try to say, look, Jack, we're acquiring you. We're giving you a fresh start. We prefer you to do it our way. I think all of these kinds of things are going to be on the table.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We're just talking about the Sabres lottery pick, Jack Eichel's next situation, everything else in between. Here's a tweet from today from the NHL Player Safety. Winnipeg's Mark Scheifele will have a hearing today for charging Montreal's Jake Evans. Craig, do you have any problem with the wording of that?
No.
Charging? Was it charging? Elliot, how do you feel about that?
Look at the rule. Actually, I tweeted this out last night. If you look at the charging rule, which is 42.1, I'm just looking on my Twitter feed for a second, because this was the key. Charging rule, 42.1. Charging shall mean the actions of a player who, as a result of distance traveled, shall violently check an opponent in any manner. A charge may be the result of a check into the boards, into the goal frame, or an open ice. That's the classic definition of charging. It gives them very wide latitude here on what to do, Andrew. I do think it hits the...
Does it say how far away the legs have to be moving for it to be like...
No.
So if he gets moving from that speed at the far blue line and glides, that's still charging?
Yep.
You just heard me read the rule.
Results of distance traveled. What does that mean? There's gray area in this whole thing to it. You can interpret it the way you want. And the reason why, Andrew, when you read that to me, I read what Elliot read right now, and it is charging. It is charging. But I don't look at this situation that he charged down the ice. I don't think that he had a motive on the back check to go and hit and injure Evans. I think that he made that decision probably a couple feet before he was actually going to make, I think he was trying to stop him from scoring the goal. Once he knew that he wouldn't get there in time, he was going to finish his check.
Craig,
I wish he would have played the puck.
He could have played the puck.
Yeah. He didn't try to play the puck.
Because
I think he realized that Evans would have scored that goal even if he would have tried to play the puck.
No, I think had he moved his feet, he could have played the puck. Like, that's the thing. Had he reached, he was in kill mode at the goal mouth of the crease. His eyes aren't even looking at the puck. Evans doesn't even have the puck wrapped into the net yet. And you have Scheifele's toes in the blue paint. His eyes are directly on, and he's lowered. He's got his shoulder turned. He's thinking, I'm going to kill. This is a dream hit. This is a dream hit for a guy like Scheifele. And it was clean, but it was unnecessary. It was totally unnecessary, and he could have played the puck. 100%. He could have played the puck before Evan's stick was even on an angle to stuff it home. He could have reached and tried. It would have only been a one goal game. That goal ices it. He thinks more about the kill than he does about saving the goal. That is as predatory a hit as I have seen in the last charging to me. They word it that way for this reason, to get them out of trouble. This wasn't a charge, but it was an unnecessary hit at a very high speed and a very big man.
You know, Andrew, the only thing I disagree with you about there is charging is different. The rule is different now than when, you know, I remember when I grew up and I played and I wasn't very good, charging was three steps, right? That was in the rule book. That's gone now. That's not there anymore. So I think you're thinking about charging in the definition of when you played or you learned it. It's different now. The rule has been changed. So I think it is charging.
Well, if that's the rule that they're going to get him on for the hit, then yes, because they can't get him on head contact.
No, they can't.
They can't get it on being a late hit.
Well, that thing, everybody was arguing head contact last night. And my point was, this is not about head contact. It's about a charge. You know, the fact is, Andrew, that like I seen Mark Scheifele, an honest player who made a mistake. He made a mistake. He lost his wits last night. He was mad about being taken down in a scrum earlier. He was mad about the way the game was going. They were losing. Stastny got hurt, didn't play. DeMelo got hurt during the game. He was frustrated, and he lost his mind for a couple of seconds. And, you know, it's a shame because I think he's got no history. He's never done anything like this. And it just shows you, it happens to all of us, you can let down your guard for seconds and there can be consequences. It's very unfortunate.
This might be an unpopular thought or even question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just to know what both you think. Is there any onus on Evans?
Absolutely.
I think there's always onus. Like, I think players have to be aware. I do think that. I think one of the things I do hear from, like, the game has changed so much from when you guys played, because there's so much less hitting that, you know, people don't look around as much. So I would say that I wish that, like, he does a shoulder check when he goes around the net. I wish he had his head up when he came back out front, obviously. But at the end of the day, the hit violates the rule.
Yeah.
But I also think, too, and Carlo Koliakovo made this point to me earlier today. I have to credit him because, you know, I think Evans at a certain point when he saw that puck and he knew the score and he knew the circumstances, I think when he comes around the net, he has to be thinking to himself, I'm going to take a hit to make this play. I'm going to take a hit if I have to stuff this puck home. And I think he had to have known at the last second that somebody, probably not Scheifele, not that big, not that strong, not that fast. Look how fast Scheifele is going.
See, I think what it says to me, Andrew, is that when he did the shoulder check, he didn't see him.
Or he thought someone was coming behind him and maybe he was being chased. But but this is where the onus is on that player too. I mean, he had other options. I mean, let's be honest. He did have...
Yeah, you know, Andrew, he did, but how can you fault a guy for trying to score a goal?
I can't. That's like, what I'm. That's why I asked.
Let me ask you.
I don't like that argument. Like, Mike Commodore made that argument.
Take a hit to score a goal.
Yes, you would. 100%. You would.
A million times over.
Yeah.
And the problem is the end result of this. I don't look at this as charging that Mark Scheifele skated 175 feet of the ice and he had a motive at the end of it. He didn't. He skated hard to, it was a 4-3 game. He skated his butt off all the way to the end and probably realized maybe within 10 feet of when he stopped skating, he realized that he probably couldn't get there in time. And he's going to make a hit to finish this. But and that happens a million times.
So let me ask
but this
you
is a terrible result.
I think he lost his mind a little bit.
I think he was coming back hard with the intent of running this guy over because he could have played the puck.
And you know what, Craig? Like in law, the penalty is always worse depending on the damage done, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So what do we think for games?
I honestly have no idea, Andrew. I did the work on this last night. There's nothing like this. There's no, I wrote last night, there's no precedent for this. In the last 7 years, there have been, I'm looking at all of the charging penalties. I went and I watched them all last night, all the charging suspensions. Last 6 years, Carson Soucy one game, Kevin Shattenkirk two games, Paul Byron, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, and Braden Schenn three games. Cody Eakin four, and that was because the victim was Henrik Lundqvist, a goalie, so they always protect those more. Andrew, none of them look like this. None of them. The closest thing, and even that is not comparable, is probably Steve Downey on Dean McCammon in 2007.
Oh, wow.
That was 20 games. Yeah. But that was 14 years ago, right?
Can I ask you this, Elliot? Yeah. What if Evans was not injured and just took a massive hit? Is there a suspension on this play?
There might be. But again, you know, Craig, I don't know. Like, again, it goes back to what we just said. The penalty is always greater in under the rule of law in life, depending on the damage or the injury that's incurred, right? Like, that's one of the arguments you get is that, you know, do you suspend the process or do you suspend the injury? There's a lot of people who don't like the idea of suspending the injury, but that's kind of the way life works. Like I said, Andrew, the problem with this one is I always like to look and say, what's the history? You know, what do previous plays that look like this get? There's nothing like this. Nothing.
Playoffs, best player on Winnipeg would grossly change the outcome of this series, I think, if you do suspend him long term. Do you not think?
Yes. Now they said it's not an in-person hearing. It's a phone hearing.
What does that mean? Under five?
Maximum five. And the other thing too is they do weigh it by, you know, playoff games, you know, one regular season game. And it depends on, like, Berkey used to say that in the first round it was two games, in the second round it was three games. So, like, so say for example it's five, and the way Berkey used to do it, that would mean 15 regular season games. So, you know, as you guys know, a playoff suspension is a big deal. Plus, he's their number one center. They're down 1-0 in the series. They've already lost. They already have a couple injuries. You know, any games he gets is going to be massive. I have no idea what to predict. I've had guys say one game. I've had guys say three games. I've had guys say five games. I have no idea. I really don't know.
Craig, what do you think?
I'm going to put it at three games. The question that I have, if Evans did not get injured, how many games would he get, or would he be suspended at all? But I think that when you look at this situation, you're looking at Evans being injured, knocked out, carried off in a stretcher, you know, maybe going to miss multiple games due to this situation and injury. I think you're probably going to be looking at three games here.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, the good news is apparently he's okay. Like, it's nowhere near as bad as it looked, thank God. But, you know, he's probably not going to play for a little bit. I mean, I would be shocked if we see him in game two. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's probably going to be like Tavares. I think Tavares wanted to play game seven, and the Leafs just said, and his doctors just said, not a chance.
Like, I
think Evans is going to be like that too.
Is Carey Price going to Dominic Hasek the Canadiens to the finals?
He might.
Like, what's going on here?
Carey Price is really good.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'd never heard of him before this year.
Man.
What's going on with Sabres coach Elliot? I know Tocchet has had multiple second interviews. Any further news on that news and when will they officially hire Don Granato?
My ears perked up yesterday night when Kevin Adams said we've interviewed European coaches. I believe that's Rickard Granborg, who is a Swedish coach, who's coached the national team in Sweden. He's been in Europe the last couple of years. He coached Team Sweden at the World Cup of Hockey. And also, like, he played college hockey in the NCAA.
He was in the running last time, I believe, wasn't
he? Yeah, he's a guy that teams have flirted with. That's who I think that is. I think they talked to Guy Gadowski of Penn State. I think you're
Nate Lehman.
I think Lehman. I think obviously Greg Carville, Tocchet, Bruce Boudreau's been interviewed, but I think Granborg's the European guy. I think there's a chance your buddy and very good person Matt Ellis could become a permanent assistant coach there. You know, it'll be interesting.
That would not be a surprise.
When you say Matt Ellis permanent assistant coach, does that mean no matter who you bring in as a head coach, Matt Ellis will be there?
Well, I know I wouldn't go that far. I've heard it's in the mix. Like, you know, normally the way it works is team gets one assistant and coach gets to pick one assistant. So I don't know if that's dependent on a particular coach or the team is saying we'd like Matt Ellis to be on the bench. But I've heard the possibility he could be there full time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's one of the things I've heard out there.
You know, it's amazing when we talk about Matt Ellis, as I remember after my first year, again, I talked to Darcy Regeer as one of the last guys speaking, and Matt Ellis's contract was up. And he had asked me a couple different questions. One, what do we need? And I said, we need more leadership. We need a few older guys because we were very young at the time. And I had mentioned Mike Greer, mm-hmm. which we actually ended up going out and get. I also said, we need to sign Matt Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt Ellis at the time was a fourth line centerman. But what he did off the ice and the type of person that he was is exactly what you wanted all the young players in Buffalo to be around. He was the hardest working guy I've ever seen off the ice.
You know what Matty Ellis did, Elliot?
What's that?
He made me question, but he made a lot of guys question whether or not they were working hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like I have all the time in the world for him.
He was always in the gym. I mean, even when he would come on the Instigators, I'd call him on a Thursday morning before he'd come in. Phone would go right to voicemail. He was, you know, throwing the ropes around, pumping the iron in the garage.
In his garage, yeah.
Throwing the weight around. The guy's an animal.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I heard that Adams had told people he's in no hurry to do this. I always worry when I say that because we'll hang up the phone and he'll hire the coach. And, oh, boy, Friedman looks like a total idiot. But yeah, at least he'd indicated to some people he was in no hurry to make that decision.
All right. Well, we're in a hurry to get to break because we're late. Elliot, thanks for your time today. Good insight, good info, good argument, good debate. Always fun. Good hair today, guys. Too.
Thanks, Roger. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Elliot.
We'll be back.
Bye, Buffalo.
Oh, there you go. Say bye to Buffalo. Just got to ask him about the Blue Jays. Really, your favorite sport. Instigators, we'll be right back. WGR 550.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You know, I can't believe no one thinks that he was just back-checking. Mark Scheifele was just back-checking. Like, as if I just can't believe that's actually. I really hope Department of Player Safety.
When did you think that he knew that he was going to try and make a hit?
Can I be totally honest with you? Yes. I didn't think there was going to be a hit.
Okay.
So like I thought
motive on the back check.
Well, the puck wasn't in the net yet, so get back because you never know what's going to happen. So get back as hard as you can. In fact, like, that's the thing. He was gliding back so fast. He wasn't even skating. He was gliding back so fast.
He busted his butt. Scheifele busted his butt from the offensive zone through the neutral zone into the defensive zone and then got about, I would say, 20 feet away, coming in with tremendous speed, started to ride the rails a little bit, and I don't think that he thought that he was going to make a hit until he realized that he could not reach Evans on the wraparound and decided to, because he had the momentum going forward, he's going to make him pay.
He knew.
I don't think he had done something wrong.
No, let me finish. He knew he had done. Did you see him after in the tunnel? Like how he kind of turned back and then kind of went to the side to look down and see. That's not a good, I couldn't imagine what he's feeling. He has no idea what he's just done to this person. Probably, you know, embarrassed. You know, after the dust settles, you probably realize, oh no, what did I do? What did I just do? Why did I have to do that? I watched this hit over and over again. And I just think, why? Why? That's the only, I don't, you know what? The fact that I feel I have to ask why is enough for them to suspend him. Because it is as
he will be so, suspended.
Yes, I know. But I'm saying right now,
if he had to do it over again,
before player safety even came out, I have people messaging me, oh, good hard hockey hit, good clean, keep your head up, bud. I'm like, get your head out of your ass. Are you kidding me? Like, this is disgusting. This was disgusting. It's disgusting. Mm. I got in a battle with my brother about it this morning. That's who are keep your head up, bud. I'm like, what are you talking about? Keep your head up. The benches should have cleared. Like in a regular season game. Did you see Lars Eller trying to keep everybody from falling on? See, I always love this too. When there's a huge scrum and there's a player on the ice, let's all fight right on him and fall on him. That whole incident last night was bad. Was a bad look, and it actually upset me. I mean, it didn't upset me.
It's a bad
me.
Look for one reason, is because the young man got injured. That's
no,
it.
It's a bad look because that's okay. Because it's bad look because that's actually something that a player thought he was allowed to do. That's
not,
the bad.
Allowed
look.
To do what? He's not allowed to hit that guy. What's well, the, where's the bad
way
look?
The way he did, yeah.
Come on. Well, I mean, we're going to sit here and disagree for the next 20 minutes on this show because I don't have a problem with the hit from Scheifele. I don't have a problem with the hit. He did not headhunt. He did not back check 175 feet.
He didn't headhunt, no, but he hunted. He hunted. He was hunting, but he didn't.
He didn't hunt. Hunting is starting from 175 feet away. That's hunting. Okay. He didn't know that he was going to make a body check.
You can hunt a player, Craig, from 10 feet. You can hunt a player from 5 feet. You can hunt a player when you decide, I'm going, oh, I have a guy who's in a vulnerable position,
a whole lot of
and I'm
going
to kill this guy.
In the game.
Go look at his eyes 5 feet from the hit. They're nowhere near the puck. Puck's not in the net. Puck's not even over the goal. Puck's not even off Evan's stick. Mm-hmm. And this guy's and Scheifele's eyes, they are solely right on the crest, and he did a hell of a job of not making contact with the hit. I'll say that. He did a great job of lowering his body and making good contact.
On a vulnerable player coming around, scoring his goal, and he was in a vulnerable position to make it a 5-3 game in a playoff game, and you think this guy's not going to hit.
I don't think that I don't expect him to not hit.
Just not as hard.
I mean, I think
you want him to slow down and put on the brakes.
No, but I think try to play the puck because it is only a one goal game and the puck wasn't in the net.
Okay, so we're past that. We're past that. He can't get the puck. He couldn't have got the puck. That's why he aborted the mission on playing the puck because he knew that the puck was going in the net. So the question is, within 5 feet, what do you do? Fly by? Don't hit the guy?
Well, you bury him.
Okay. That's exactly what he did. And it was a tough result, and it's tough to watch. And I hope that the young man's doing well. But, I mean, 10 times out of 10, moving forward, this is going to happen. It may not be the same result with the injury, but this is going to happen 10 out of 10 times where players are going to finish their check. And right now, Scheifele's going to get suspended because of the injury to the player, not because of the hit, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, I've been wrong many times before.
No, I don't know. That's the thing. And that's what Elliot was trying to say, is that it's a very hard one to call.
Yeah.
Because I even under the rules, I don't necessarily consider this charging. I know what the rules said and I read it, but I still have a problem with the hit. I don't consider it charging. That's the thing. I still have a problem with it, but I don't consider that a charge.
Charging is when you're
something else. I definitely believe it's predatory, but I didn't consider that necessarily as a charge.
Yeah. I think for me where my issue with this hit is you're hitting a vulnerable player. That's it. Players in a bad situation. after he tucks his goal around the net, he's in a bad position to take a hit. So the question is, do you not make the hit because he's in a bad position? Or do you make the hit because he's in a bad position?
Well, unfortunately, the game and the way that we've been taught and told how to play is that we are taught and told to finish that hit. But that's the mindset of maybe the way players are wired growing up. Because you know, because of what you're saying, if he turns away from the hit, even though the game is over with a minute left, he's criticized for that too. So it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. And that is the problem as well. That's actually probably the bigger problem is it's the mindset of, or the perception of whether you hit the guy or you don't hit the guy. And how, you know, maybe he doesn't
care. How it's going to be looked upon. This guy doesn't care.
100%. Yeah, he doesn't care, right?
He just skated by Evans when he tucked in the 5-3 goal.
Yeah. So is it Scheifele's fault? Because is it Scheifele's fault? Like, that's the thing.
Does Scheifele have any priors? Is he a dirty player? Has he done anything like this in the past?
I don't know if he's done it. I mean, he's a physical player, Riff. He's a physical player.
He's a great player.
He's a great player.
Absolutely an incredible player. I love watching Mark Scheifele play the game. Plays it fast. He plays it physical. He's honest in the way that he plays. And this is an unfortunate situation is the way I look at it. It really is.
Well,
because I don't have a problem with the actual hit. And he didn't track him. He wasn't there to try and kill Evans. He back-checked like you know that he would all the way because it's a 4-3 game, hoping that he can stop a goal going.
We got to go to break, but I think you're wrong about one point. I think he did. That's a dream hit for a guy like Scheifele. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. We'll have a couple minutes. I'll let you defend yourself on the other side if you really want to, Craig. Otherwise, I have something. Otherwise, I have something good for things that Craig won't care about. Stick around. More to come.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. Final segment. We have about 2 minutes here, Riff. Things that Craig won't care about. I think he might like this. This is interesting. James Dean, his cursed transaxle, just the transaxle from his 1955 Porsche 550 Spyder that he was driving when he crashed, sold for $400,000, Paulie.
What?
Yes, just a piece of metal, just the axle, the transaxle, sells for $400,000 at an auction from the Porsche he was driving when he crashed. James Dean. Does that interest you at all?
It really doesn't, to be honest with you. James Dean.
Do you know who James Dean is?
Yes. Yes, okay. I do. Yes, I do.
Here's another one that you might not be interested or maybe interested in. Women tell an average of 11 lies a week. Men? How many?
75.
58.
Okay.
I think I told 58 yesterday.
I'm over the average for sure.
Here's another fact. Sometimes words just aren't enough. This is right up for you. Words just aren't enough. And that's why we have the middle finger. That's a fact. Pope Francis used to be a nightclub bouncer. Did you know that?
What?
Yes. Pope Francis used to be a nightclub bouncer.
No.
I have a quick question for you. We have about 30 seconds here. So my friend bought a new car and he asked me what I like of the car. It's a brand new car. It's a cool car. I don't like the car. Do you tell him you don't like the car or do you tell him it's a cool car?
Well, are you making the decision because of your feeling of the car or what you think the car does for him?
No, it's not what the car does for him. Car does a lot for him.
Yeah.
You got to go. We got 5 seconds. Oh, tell me tomorrow. We'll be back. Marty tomorrow and Darren Dreger at 11. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.